From the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. And that's where she was from, but that's not where she's at now. Thou hast ravaged my heart. She's literally captured his heart. My sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravaged my heart with one of thine eyes. What did both of his eyes do? With one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Amen. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we're so grateful to be gathered together once again in the precious name above all names, and with those of like precious faith. And Lord, we know that you're faithful. We know that you said that where two or more are gathered, that you would be there in their midst. And Lord, we certainly, there's more than two of us that have gathered in your name. Lord, even if it was just your minister speaking this morning and there was nobody here to listen, there's a spiritual gathering that's taken place as others listen in, as they stream. And we believe, Lord, that you'll meet their needs, that you'll speak to their hearts just as sure as anything. We're totally dependent upon you this morning, Lord. And we know that you saw this bump in the road before the foundation of the world, and you made provision for it. You're not a bit worried that your plan is not being set back in the least bit, and your enemy has not gotten over you at all. So, Lord, we come this morning for our portion. We've come, Lord, to worship you, to give you praise and honor, to make love to you, Lord, to make our requests known before the body, to join together, to enter into in prayer with one another. Lord, to testify of the things that you've done and the things that you're going to do. And Lord, to prepare ourselves for the battles that lie ahead. Father, we just love you so much now, and we invite your presence amongst us to minister the word to us as only you can. And we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So in our story where we left off several services ago, perhaps a month ago, the guests are outside. They're enjoying the feast. They're enjoying the entertainment that's been provided for each and every one of them on this momentous event, this momentous evening. The bride and the bridegroom, they're alone. And they're together in the bridal chamber. And it's a beautiful room. As we've looked at before, there are many articles that are there that are very significant. There's much preparation that's went into decorating this room and putting everything in order for this special wedding night. And no doubt this setting is the definition of comfort and peace for both of them. But their focus is not upon the room at this time. You see, they are finally joined together. It's just him and her. Likewise, the bride of Jesus Christ in this hour is in a special place with her bridegroom, with Christ the Word, for the time of the marriage is come. And it's taking place right now in the nighttime of Laodicea. The light of the gospel, it's shed its rays, it's spanned the globe, and the ripened grain has been gathered together in one place, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And that grain is waiting to be taken up into the grain elevator. The fields are being gleaned over, and handfuls are being gathered from here and from there. Maybe one grain here, maybe two here, maybe a handful here. The days of the great revivals are over. The revivals that once swept the nations. The days that used to capture the hearts and minds and souls. And in its place, there's a great falling away that's taking place. And there are those that are saying, where is the sign of his coming? For all things remain the same as they were in the days of our forefathers. And yet a revival is taking place among those that have been gathered together in him. You see, it is the wedding night of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. And an invisible union is taking place in a secret place in the bridal chamber. And this union that is taking place is not a public event. There are guests that have been invited. They're gathering around. They know that a wedding is taking place, but they're not privy to what's taking place behind closed doors. In this Song of Solomon that we've been looking at for several services, we find in chapter 4 that the focus of Solomon is upon the bride's hair and upon her face, upon her eyes, upon her neck, upon the sweet-smelling odors that are coming forth. And, you know, he could have talked, and rightfully so, he could have talked about, wasn't that a fine ceremony, and wasn't the food just wonderful, and weren't the decorations just, you know, have you ever seen such decorations? And he could have talked about the number and the quality of all the guests that had attended, the notoriety and the royalty that was in attendance. He could have talked about the music. He could have talked about the wedding cake. He could have talked about the ceremony. He could have talked about the exchanging of vows that took place between the bride and the bridegroom. But he is so in love with her. And he is now alone with her. And she is the reason why he's arranged all of these things that have taken place. And now they are together alone at last. And he's describing to her what he sees in her that has so captured his heart. He's the faithful and true witness. What he says is the truth. Listen, friends, we appreciate this church building. We appreciate the renovated church building. We appreciate all the furnishings, the new chairs, the air conditioning, the lighting, the screens, all these things that have been provided for us so that we can come together to worship our King. We appreciate all of it. But our focus this morning is not on the building. And our focus is not on all the niceties that have been provided for us. And our focus certainly isn't on what other people are wearing or what their hair looks like. Amen? Our focus is upon Him. And it is the new birth that causes our focus to change from looking at our surroundings and looking at the elements to looking at Him. It is the new birth that causes our attention to be focused solely on Him, to please Him, regardless of who comes and who doesn't. More than anything else and more than anybody else, our focus is upon Him. It's the new birth. Now, before the new birth, friends, we talked about Him, and we longed to meet with Him, and we felt His presence when we talked about Him. And we when we heard sermons about Him, we rejoiced and we sang together about Him. And in that season of our lives, at that point, that stage in our journey, that's fine. That's wonderful. We all start out there. But when we meet Him face to face, and when we unite with Him in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, our focus completely changes. When we enter in behind the veil and we begin to sup with Him and Him with us, our relationship with Him has changed forever. We can never come to church the same way that we used to come. Never again will we gather together to talk about Him. Never again will we gather together to say, I feel His presence. Fall on me. There was a time for that. But that time has passed. No, we are in a holy union with Him, and we come to this building with Him. Amen. We bring Him with us because He's the one that's leading us to church. Friends, if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, nobody has to beat you to go to church. He will lead you to church, and you will follow. His presence is already with us. His presence is already in us, manifesting through us. We bring Him with us, and He speaks directly to each and every one of us through His provided ministry, and we speak back to Him, each and every one of us, just as we do outside of these doors. We don't just talk to Him when we come here. Amen. We talk to him all the time. Amen. And he talks to us all the time. And we make our requests known, as we've done this morning. We come together. We make our requests known before the body. The rest of the body. See, there's not only a uniting that's taking place between us and him, but there's a uniting that's taking place amongst us. For we are one body. We are baptized into this body by one Spirit. So we make our requests known to the rest of the body that we are united with, so that what is done in heaven is also done here on the earth. Amen. And sometimes we need to unite our faith together one with another. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. But our confidence is in him. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So the festivities are over now for Solomon and his bride. There's still merriment. There's still entertainment going on outside of the bridal chamber. But for Solomon and his bride, they've moved into a new phase of their walk together. They're together, they're alone, and he's beginning to speak things to her to encourage her, to put her at peace. He's wanting, friends, for her to completely trust him. He's wanting her to completely surrender to herself to him in every way. And so he speaks to her to reassure her, to settle her down, and to let her know what she means to him and who she really is, as opposed to who she once was. His words are a great source of comfort to her. And she takes him at his word. And she casts down anything in her reasoning, anything in her conscience, anything in her affections, her memories, anything that tells her something that contradicts what he's now telling her about herself. She's got to cast it down. Friends, from the moment that we give our lives over to the Lord Jesus, from the moment that we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he continually deals with our lives to cause us to surrender ourselves to him. Amen. And it's a continual process. The more we walk with him, the more we surrender. The more we walk with him, the more we trust him. The more we walk with him, the more we understand. The more we can anticipate. The more we rest. So that means trusting him when we can't see 2 feet in front of the path that we're walking on. We can't see where the path is leading to, but we've been given exceeding great and precious promises. That means believing his word is sufficient. Oh, friends. His word is sufficient no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. No matter what situation. No matter how much time has gone by. No matter how many times we brought the request before him, his word is sufficient. That means letting him take full control of all of our circumstances. So much of the time we do without because we're still holding on. And we're still holding on because we're afraid to trust. We're afraid to let go. But friends, that's what we must do. We must let go and let God. We must let him be Lord of all, of every situation in our lives. So that means letting him take full control of every circumstance, of every situation. That means we don't walk into a situation that he hasn't led us into. That means allowing him to comfort us when we need comfort. Instead of throwing a pity party and refusing to come out of it. We feel bad when we're for anyone, when they're in a trial, when they're in a situation. We feel bad. But there's a provision that's been made. But you've got to be willing to walk into that. It means looking for his will to be performed in every part of our lives, in every situation that we find ourselves in. It means to trust that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and that he won't lead us into a trap. We find that the more that we surrender to him, the more he's able to do for us. I surrender all, Lord. So the bride is now in a more private place with her bridegroom. It's not a public show. And she's nervous, of course. And he knows that. So he creates a love atmosphere around her. She wasn't beaten to come into this bridal chamber, and she's not being threatened.
Amen.
Come on, church.
Amen.
He creates a love atmosphere around her in order for her to be able to completely surrender to him.
Amen.
She needs to trust him completely. And she needs, he wants her to surrender to him out of love and not out of fear.
Amen.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So in our natural birth, as we've looked at this, we were united with our first husband. We were united with a nature that ruled over us. And that first husband must die in order for us to unite with the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus gives us a new nature down on the inside of us that is the same as the nature that is his own nature, because he unites with somebody of his own nature.
Amen.
A pig doesn't unite with a hippopotamus. A giraffe doesn't unite with a bumblebee. They must have the same nature.
Amen.
We repent. We repent with a sorrowful repentance. Because of our fallen nature. We get baptized. We turn from our sin. We get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we're told this is what he wants us to do. This is what he doesn't want us to do. And as we hear these things, he begins to clean us up. He begins to take things from us.
Amen.
Begins to change desires. And yet we're not married to him at that point. It's still a courtship. We are getting to know him, and we are learning to hear his voice and to recognize his voice over other voices and over even our own voice. And we are deciding. We are in a choosing time. We're choosing whether we're going to make him Lord as well as Savior, whether we're going to listen to him or not. But there comes a time when we cry out from the depths of our being. We cry out for him. And we cry out for him to kill that old nature.
Amen.
To kill that old husband. And to set us free from that first husband that ruled over us in such a cruel way. And we cry out for him to come and take that place in our soul. For him to come and take his place on the throne of our heart. And to quicken that seed that's down on the inside that's crying out for life.
Amen.
The new birth kills that old nature, friends.
Yes.
And the new nature quickens, the new birth quickens a new nature down on the inside.
Amen.
And then we have to recognize that the memories that we have are not attributed to the new creature.
Amen.
The new creature never did it. How could it? It wasn't born yet.
Right.
You can't be judged for something you did before you were born.
Amen.
The new creature never did those things. The old man did. And we don't deny that. We don't argue with that at all. But that one's dead. That one's been judged. That one's been found guilty. And that one has been done away. So we recognize that these memories, Satan still remembers. We're still in the same container. And this same container, in our spirit realm, we have memories. And those memories are of things that took place in us before we were new creatures in Christ Jesus. Brother Branham says in the Invisible Union, he says, but the word justified is though you never done it. Amen? It's not even regarded at all. How is it done? In God's book of the sea of forgetfulness, your old book and marriage is divorced and dead. It's not even in the memories of God. Notice he didn't say it's not in your memory. He said it's not in his memory. Why? Because he's not looking at the dead guy. He's looking at the new creature. He's looking at the one that came from him. He's looking at his son. He's looking at his daughter. He's looking at his offspring.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the deeds did take place in your flesh. And therefore you remember it. But God does not. He says, amen, you are justified. Therefore, being justified, it was accused. You was accused. You never done it in the first place. The old union is in the sea of God's forgetfulness. You wasn't married to it. Notice this. He's talking about how you were married to that old nature, and then he says you wasn't married to it. Now, friends, it only makes sense if he's talking about a different you. Because how could you be married to it and not married to it? The old you was married to it. The new you never was. You weren't alive. You weren't quickened. You wasn't married to it to begin with. You were in him to begin with. He, the bridegroom, bore your shame himself for you in your place. He took your place, for you were predestinated for him to be his bride before the foundation of the world. God made up his mind before the foundation of the world that you would be his bride. The Bible said so. You are the predestinated seed. And you're coming to that recognition. So you wasn't married to it, he says. The real you, that is. You have a new nature now, which is your new husband. The old nature is dead. And God creates in you a new nature. And that new nature is compatible with the Word. You can get along with yourself now. You can get along with God. You can get along with others. Hallelujah. Let's look at this from Leviticus chapter 21 this morning, verse 10. And he that is the high priest among his brethren. Now, Jesus Christ is not a priest. He's the high priest. And there's a difference between a priest and a high priest. And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. Now this, the high priest lineage came through the lineage of Aaron and his sons and carried on. Verse 11, neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. Now think about this for a moment, friends. He couldn't even go to his parents' funeral. He could not go where loved ones had passed away. His office came first. I was thinking about that this morning. How many funerals do we read about that Jesus attended? The only ones that he attended are the ones that didn't remain a funeral. Lives came forth. Leviticus 21:12. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God. He's to remain in the spirit. For the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity. So the high priest couldn't marry a woman from outside of the tribe. She had to be family, if you will. And the woman also had to be a virgin. Now, the high priest, of course, is typing Jesus Christ because he is our high priest. And he can only marry a virgin. And he can only marry one. Oh, I hope you get it this morning. One that's related to him. He couldn't marry the wife of a priest that had died. You know, though the priest could do that. A priest could die and then his wife could remarry another priest, but not the high priest. And this ensured that the next high priest that came forth would be his son. And not perhaps the son of another. Perhaps, you know, imagine that he took the wife of another priest. The priest had passed away and maybe she was pregnant already. And then she would have that child. Well, that would not be his son. And the lineage had to come through that particular lineage. God had ordained that the high priest would come through that particular lineage. Are you with me? Verse 14. A widow or a divorced woman or profane or an harlot, these shall he not take. But he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. So he couldn't marry a woman whose husband had died. And this foreshadows, of course, the new creation, for Christ is our high priest, and his wife must be a virgin. And the only way that that's possible is for her to be born again, because her first birth is a mess. She was born married to an evil taskmaster. She was born married to a contrary nature. So she must be born again, because her first nature was born married to another nature already. So, friends, when God is speaking about his bride, he's not talking about whosoever will. It's not up to us to decide to be his bride. He's chosen his bride. She is of his own making. Again, he says, there is no minister. He's speaking, of course, of the lineage of the high priest here, and he's speaking of Aaron's lineage. He says, there is no minister that can marry a widow. Did you know that? You read that? All right, you get that in Leviticus 21:7 and Ezekiel 44:22, and it'll show you that the priesthood was not to marry a woman that's been touched by a man. This is a type of the virgin bride of Jesus Christ, because they handled the fire of God, the priest did, Aaron's sons. So this is the high priest lineage that he's speaking of. He says, we haven't got time to read it all and get out by noon. We got 20 minutes yet. And them is Aaron's sons that handled the fire of God. So they couldn't marry a woman that had been touched by another man. The unchanging God said so. They could not marry another woman, and a woman been touched by a man, showing in type here, if you want to see it, that the church of the living God is purely unadulterated the word of God, and not a denomination that's been handled by man. Verse 14, and a widow, or a divorced woman, or profane, or an harlot, these shall he not take. But he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Now we've got a Boaz that took a Ruth. Ruth was not from his people, but Boaz wasn't a high priest. We see David taking other wives. We see other examples of it. In order to be his wife, in order to be the wife of the high priest, you have to first be his people. And the only way you can be his people is to come from his father. Is to come from the same source. Is to be sons and daughters of God. It's to be brethren. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make captains of their salvation, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Amen. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, friends, they're not adopted. They're not, some outsider, nobody, somebody that's outside of the plan of God, somebody that's from another people or another nation. They're literally, brethren. Yeah. Now, the only way you can be brethren is to come from the same father. Amen. Is to come from the same DNA. Is to have the same genes. Glory. So you were once in the eternal, and you came out when the Logos came out. Now you don't remember it any more than Eve remembers being in Adam. You don't remember it, but you were there. You were in him. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Wow. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, one of these days it'll break on you. That God took a blood cell and formed it and placed it in a virgin and brought forth Jesus Christ. Well, he didn't do that with you, but he did place part of his own genetics on the inside of you at your first birth, and it laid there dormant, waiting to be quickened, and in the right time, in the right season, you were born, just as he was born. You partook of flesh, just as he partook of flesh. Before that, you were dead while you yet lived. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Amen. Glory to God. He says here, by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. And that body is a family. I don't like you, Brother Doug, too bad. You're stuck with me throughout eternity. And actually, you do like me. You might not like my container, but guess what? I'm not too fond of it either. But there's a part of me that came from him. And that part of me that came from him is related to you. We're family. And that body is a family, the family of God. And that's the house of God. The house of God is the family of God. And the house of God is the name of Jesus Christ. Wherever he places his name is the house of God. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. I have chose to put my name at the door of the house of my worship, for my family will be gathered in there under the blood, like it was in Egypt. Anything outside died, and in there, there's no leavened bread. There's no denominational mixture in it anywhere. My house, my children, born of my genes. Amen. Glory to God, he says. My genes are in them. God wants you to know this morning, his genes are in you. My genes are in them. I put my word in them. I'll write them upon the tables of their heart. That's my family, the family of the body of Jesus Christ, the family. That's why we stick together. That's why we fight for one another. That's why we get together. We enter into one another's suffering. That's why we get together and agree. Say, oh, I see what you're going through and I really feel for you. Now let's be scriptural about it. Let's join together in faith and let's change this situation. Because what he said in heaven is not what's taking place here on the earth. But we're going to agree that what he has already said will manifest in flesh. We unite together. Hallelujah. So this family is an eternal family. It was once together, it will be together again. And it consists of sons and daughters that are born of his spirit, born of his very genes. And we need to know this. You say, well, why? Why would we need to know this? Because we're like the Shulamite woman this morning. And she needed to hear who she really was. Not who she once was, but who she really was. And she needed to hear it out of the very mouth of her match piece. Friends, when we unite with him, we must recognize that we are part of him. That we are partakers of his very nature. And not another. That it's him in us that's overcoming. So the high priest could only marry one that was related by blood. He goes on to say, in a time of decision, he says, did you know that Rebekah and Isaac was blood relation? Cousins. And the bride of Jesus Christ is blood relation to him. A blood bought bride. He says, no wonder she was led by the Spirit. There was a connection coming together. There was a union that was coming together. The life is in the blood, and the life is in the church. The Christian that's born again by the Spirit of God, that's the Spirit of life, blood relation to Christ. The Spirit of Christ in the blood of Christ, leading a child of Christ, the seed of Abraham. Oh, that's good, isn't it? I'm going to read that again. The Spirit of Christ in the blood of Christ, leading a child of Christ, the seed of Abraham. Friends, you do what you do because of who you are. You did what you did because of who you were. Now you do what you do because of who you are. Oh, it's so easy for us to believe that about him. Because of who you are. We sing that song over and over. Because of who you are. But because of who you are. You're not trying to be this. This is what you are. You're surrendering to who you are. You came from him. You will fulfill what you've been placed here to fulfill. You'll not return it to him void. He said, well, that's speaking of the word. Well, who do you think you are? You're a portion of that word. You're one of God's eternal thoughts that became word, that becomes flesh. And when you fulfilled what you were sent here to do, you will go back to him. A super sign. Isaac and Rebekah were first cousins. Blood relation, showing that the church in the last days will be blood relation to Christ.
Amen.
Oh, friends, I never heard this in the Baptist church. I appreciate all the training and so forth. I appreciate the parts that were good and the parts that were right. I appreciate the sincerity, but I never heard one time that I was blood relation to Christ.
Amen.
For the very God that predestinated the Christ, who was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth, the church itself, its name, the church itself, its name was put on the book before the foundation of the world. And Rebekah, as soon as she heard of Isaac, there was something in her that pulled her straight to him, though she hadn't seen him or nothing. Yet she yet wanted to go by her own choice away from her mother or brother. We appreciate mother or brother. We appreciate the denomination. We appreciate different things from our past. But that's not who we want to unite with. That's not who we are related to. Something in her. When Eliezer described to her Isaac, described his character, his nature, something in her said, that's it. That's where I want to go. That's where I want to, that's who I want to be a part of. When his name was mentioned to her, now his name is his character. When his name was mentioned to her, she fell in love with him right away. She wanted to know him. She wanted to unite with him. His servant, Gehazi, was anointed to preach to her who Isaac was. And he fulfilled that. He was faithful to it. Notice, he did not cause her to fall in love with him. She did not go away married to Gehazi. And you're not married to the pastor. What a perversion. That's from the pits of hell. It's all about him. If it's anybody else, we've missed the mark. It's all about Christ. Brother Brown tells us that the ministering gifts are like diamonds. Now, we might, those of us that are a little older, we might remember the record player and You know, maybe some of us were old enough to remember the 78 revolution per minute record. And some of us would remember another one that was 45 revolutions per minute, and it usually just had one song on one side. And probably none of us were around when the record was a roll that rotated and a needle was put up. Well, maybe, you know, there might be some. I don't know, but I don't remember that. I just take their word for it. But then came the last in the progression of records. It was 33 and a third or a half or whatever revolutions per minute that it would turn. It was a big album and it had many songs on it and on both sides, and the music was recorded. It was actually in the vinyl, and what you had to do was take a stylus that was made of diamond. And it would ride in the grooves of this vinyl record. And as this record turned, the sound would be picked up by that diamond. And it would be brought into the audio domain. And it would be a reproduction of what was on the record without adding to it or taking away from it. It was a faithful reproduction. So God sent ministering gifts, diamonds, to make it real for you. Amen. To take what was already recorded and bring it forth. Amen. So Eliezer so reflected Isaac to Rebekah that she fell in love with Isaac right away. She never once thought that Eliezer was Isaac. She knew that Eliezer was revealing to her Isaac. And she fell in love with that Isaac and said, Eliezer, take me to him. Amen. Oh, I want to meet him. Look upon his face. Amen. There to sing forever of his saving grace. Amen. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Amen. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Again, in questions and answers, he says, when Rebekah went to meet Isaac, remember Eliezer? Representing now the message. Notice he doesn't say Eliezer representing the messenger, though he was the messenger. But the messenger was off the scene when I heard the message. So how is the messenger going to represent? How is the messenger going to present to me the message? Eliezer representing now the message that went forth from Abraham. Eliezer went forth to find a bride for Isaac. So I have the message of the messenger now. And it's pointing me to my Isaac. He found the beautiful Rebekah in the cool of the evening. A little dark-skinned girl coming out with a water pot on, and Eliezer prayed and said, Lord God, give me good journey now and success for my master, Abraham. He said, go. Don't take him amongst the Philistines. Don't take her. Get over here amongst his people, showing that the bride of Christ and Christ is blood relation. Because Rebekah and Isaac were cousins. Amen. Friends, we aren't cousins to Christ. We are brothers and sisters. Amen. He calls us brethren. Amen. He's the firstborn of the new creation. If he's the firstborn, then the secondborn, the thirdborn, it must be of the same creation. Amen. We're of the same family. His father is my father. Don't take this the wrong way, but there is a soul and there is a man, a created being, and the attribute of the fullness of God dwells in him. Again, he says, the church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit, because the life is in the blood. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that baptizes us into his body, that recognizes only his body, his flesh, his word. Amen. Denomination won't never touch that. It's a revelation. She knows it. So did Eve know it, but she fell. But this one knows it and won't fall. She is ordained, hallelujah. She is ordained not to fall. She won't fail. She's predestinated to it. He will make sure that she does not fail. He will keep his word concerning her. So there's a different life that's living in you since you've been born again.
Amen.
You may look the same, you may feel the same, and in some ways you may still act the same. But there's a new life that's living down on the inside.
Amen.
Now it took a lamb with a soul to bring that life back to us. Amen? Friends, in order for him to be my near kinsman, he had to be like me. So it took a man. A God man. One that was without sin. One that was blameless. A lamb that was worthy. But it took a lamb. And the life that was wrapped up in that blood cell was released when the sacrifice was given at Calvary. And that life has now entered back in to another body.
Yes.
One body was slain and was offered as a sacrifice for all of us.
Yes.
And then that body was raised up again and ascended to the throne. And then a bride body was raised up on the earth and was filled with the very same life that was in him that raised him from the grave.
Amen.
That very same life is in her now.
Yes.
In a many-membered body. You came to this earth with a seed of God down on the inside of your soul, but it was laying there dormant. But that seed needed life. And that seed was calling for life in order to come forth in flesh. But when it's quickened, friends, we find that it's after his own kind.
Amen.
It's just like him. It's the same species. It's a part of him. Glory to God. Listen to this. The first time angels ever sang at a celebration, it was in heaven. If you'll look in Job 38, chapter verse 7, as I see some of you taking notes, when God first planned on making his first creation, the earth, God's planning on his first creation here on the earth, and the angels in heaven rejoiced and sang. See, the first time angels ever sang at a celebration was in heaven, but the first time they ever sang on earth was to ministers. I mean, to shepherds.
Amen.
At the birth of God. Emmanuel on the earth. First human beings ever heard an angel sing was humble shepherds.
Amen.
Now friends, how can a minister lead you to Christ if he's not a shepherd? If he's never met him? So notice the angels sang in heaven when God created the earth and the things that are in the earth. The angels sang on earth when God formed his second creation.
Amen.
Which is creating himself into his own creation. Becoming a part of his own creation.
Amen.
He says, notice. Now notice, God is fixing to make another creation. This is what we're just speaking of. He creating mortal earth, mortal life, angels sing in heaven. But here, he's creating new life, eternal life for man. And he's singing to his subjects through angels.
Amen.
God is expressing through angels himself.
Amen.
He's singing to his own creation through angels.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
He's singing to his subjects through angels on the earth, not in heaven.
Amen.
Heaven had eternal life, see? And he sang, they sang to the heavens when the mortal creation come in. And here, the immortal creation is coming in. And now they're singing to earthly people. The first time to shepherds. Striking, isn't it? Oh, thank God for a prophet. Where would we be without these things? He had started a new creation. What was it? Now see, I was always taught, yeah, you're a new creation, sort of. You're the same thing kind of worked over again. You're reformed instead of being transformed. But don't ever forget that you're a sinner, that you're no good, that you're worthless. Right? You'll never live any higher than that, friends. You can't live higher than that if that's your confession. He had started a new creation. What was it? A creation of himself. Amen. Let that break on you. Hallelujah. A creation of himself. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible said in the beginning of the creation of God, God was created in human form. In Christ Jesus, his Son, God dwelt. He built his tabernacle of flesh and bones and lived in that tabernacle, God Emmanuel, God with us. He built himself a house to live in it so he could reflect his word to his subjects through that. You know what God is when you see Christ. Oh, glory to God. So the head of the new race came first, of course. And friends, we know that even in the natural birth, God has designed things that when the natural birth takes place in its natural order, the head comes first. And then the body follows. And you can pretty much be assured that if the head made it, the body's going to make it. But if the head doesn't make it, well, you've got some trouble. So the head of the new race came first, but then the rest of the family comes after. Amen. Laodicean church age. Brother Branham says, but now he's standing in the midst of the church. As he stands there revealing who he is in this last age, he calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. As the Spirit of God, he come down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was born. I want to repeat that, he says. He created the very cells in the womb of Mary for that body. And friends, I've heard time and time again when Brother Branham said, you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation, or actually the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. It's one of the mysteries that's revealed here again, here in the end time, that, you know, people went off the deep end and they said, well, you know, there's no sensation, so you don't even know that it took place. He never said that, and that's not what he was saying. It would have to dovetail all the way through for him to say that. But what he's saying is that birth that takes place down in your soul, there's no sensation. In your soul, you either believe or you doubt. But in your soul, it's a revelation. Christ is revealed to you personally. You know that you know that you know. So what took place in the soul was the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there was no sensation. But the rest of you, the rest of your body will have a sensation. Because the rest of your body is, excuse me for putting it this way, sensational. That's the only way. The rest of your body has senses. You sense his presence before the new birth. Amen? But at the new birth, you know. You're not sensing, you know. Christ is revealed to you personally. So they'll take that and they'll say, well, just like Mary, you know, she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And guess what? There was no sensation. Because if there would have been sensation, it would have been a sex act, and then he would have been born, he would have had original sin just like the rest, so there was no sensation. And they call that the new birth. But Mary had to go to Pentecost. Mary had to go to the upper room. When she brought forth the Christ, that was not her new birth. She wasn't born again of the Spirit of God when Jesus Christ came from her womb. She was the carrier. She still had to be born again just as you and I. She still had to die out just as you and I do. Otherwise, you make her the Catholic Mary. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. How many believes that?
Amen.
We'll pull over here in just a moment. As the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was born. I want to repeat that, he says. He created the very cells in the womb of Mary for that body. It was not enough for the Holy Spirit to simply give life to the human ovum or egg supplied by Mary. Mary didn't supply any of this. That's the point. That would have been sinful mankind producing a body. That would not have produced the last Adam. And friends, the type here. God does not forgive the old self, the old man, the old nature, and then bring forth life by the old self that we provide to him. Well, Lord, here's my part. You forgave the old self. Now I'll give you the old self and you can bring forth that new life. Uh-uh. No, it's got to come from God. It's got to be all God. Of him it was said, "Lo, a body hast thou, Father, prepared for me." God, not Mary, provided that body. Mary was the human incubator, and she carried that holy child and brought him to birth. It was a God-man. He was the Son of God. He was of the new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new race. He is the head of this new race. But there are other members of this new race. Then he quotes these scriptures, Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I want you to say that with me this morning. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, I'm a new creation.
Amen.
I'm a new creation.
Amen.
Old things have passed away.
Hallelujah.
Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
That's why we don't look back.
Amen.
That's why we lay these things aside. And that's why we press forward. That's why we have to deal with complexes. These complexes have to do with the old man, not the new one. Well, I'll probably never, and I never win. That's the old one. Nobody loves me. That's the old one. I'm no good. That's the old one. I'll never amount to anything. That's the old one. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's stand. You didn't believe me, did you? Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Listen, friends, The Shulamite woman had to hear these things from Solomon. You have to hear these things from Christ the Word. The Word won't lie to you. I'm so thankful that God sent one with a message in this hour to prove that this is the Word of God. That it's living, that it's effective, that it's genuine, that it's the same, that God still does the same things today as He's ever done. We've got so many interpretations. I don't know about you, I was so overwhelmed. When I began searching for God with all of my heart, when I got to the point, now I'd went to church, friends, most of my life. There's a big difference between going to church and searching for God with all of your heart. Everybody wants to know about God. Everybody wants to love God. Everybody wants to, maybe serve God or be forgiven at least, right? But there was a thirst, a hunger. I didn't want to live the life that I was living any longer. I didn't like the life that I was living. I wanted to be free from it. And I wanted the kind of life that was described in the New Testament that I wasn't experiencing. And I wasn't sure anybody else was either. I knew there were a lot of people that were good at manufacturing it, making it look like that's what they were experiencing. But you can't manufacture this. Amen. It's life. Amen. Either the life is there or it isn't there. Amen. So Sister Baker and I and our little family, we went from church to church, different places, different denominations, looking for the Jesus of the Bible. And every place we went, they introduced us to a different Jesus, just as Paul said. He said, there are others that will preach a Jesus that I didn't preach. He said, if they do, you might well bear with them. He presented to us the Jesus of the Bible. So we needed God to send one man in this age, in this hour, to show us who the author of this Bible is. And to prove to us that this is God's Word. Amen. Because, we could wonder, it's been changed, it's been translated. What version? I mean, I went through that too. What version should I be reading? There's this Living Word version. There's the Revised Standard Version. There's the King James Version. There's the Amplified Bible. There's this, there's that, and Tyndale, and so on and so forth. Which one should I be listening to? Because they don't all say exactly the same thing. How do I know that this is still true? How do I know that I've met this Jesus of the Bible? So God had to send a messenger in this age. And God had to prove to us that it was His Word in every way. And God had to present Himself to us once again. Through this diamond gift, Christ was able to manifest Himself amongst us as the Christ of the Bible. Amen. And friends, it's over vindicated as far as I'm concerned. It's more proven than it was 2,000 years ago. It is vindicated without a shadow of a doubt. And that's all wonderful and that's all good. But all that does is makes a way for me to meet that one myself. For me to come in contact with and unite with that one. I didn't know what his name was. I was told that there were three. I never got that. I never understood it. That's because there's nothing to understand. How three can be one. How God can be three. And three personalities, individuals, and yet be one. So God had to send me a Gehazi to tell me who Isaac is and to tell me what Isaac said about me. And I had to take him at his word. I had to accept it without ever meeting him. Amen? But when you surrender and you die out, then you meet him. Oh, there'll be a physical meeting. We're looking forward to that. But there's a spiritual union that's already taken place. Amen. The whole world can pass away. But nothing can take from you what's already taken place. Nobody can take. People could say, you know what, we're taking you out from under the blood. And you say, well, you know, the life's in me, so how are you going to do that? I just read that quote to you this morning. The life's in the blood, and the blood's in a body. Amen. Too late. You could have tried that when I was a Baptist, and I probably would have believed you. Could have tried it when I was a biker, and I probably would have believed you. But now it's too late. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we stand before you this morning, what a grateful people we are. What an excited people, Lord. Father, we're living in a time that the world is filled with fear. It was prophesied that in the end times that men's hearts would be failing for fear. That there would be troublesome times, turbulent times. That there would be a great falling away. All of these things are taking place. But at the same time, there's glorious things that are taking place. There's a uniting that's taking place between a heavenly bridegroom and an earthly bride. There's a body that's coming into its position and coming into maturity, that's surrendering, and the authority is being released in that body. And there's a life that's controlling that body, that will not allow this body to fall, that will not allow this body to fail, that will not allow this bride to be deceived. There is a complete and total fulfillment of the word that's taking place in a body on the earth. And Lord, we know that that's paving the way and making a way for the dead in Christ to come forth. For there's now a body on the earth that's no longer hindering those that have gone before us. But they are flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone, word of your word, spirit of your spirit. And Lord, as they're surrendering to you, you're taking absolute and full control. She's of your own making. She's of your own creation. And she's exactly to your specifications. And Lord, we truly, there's a part of us that believes this. There's a part of us that accepts this. There's a part of us that it's been revealed to us. And so by faith, we know that it's the truth. And yet there's still another part of us that says, why me? How did this happen? How was I chosen? But Lord, your word declares to us, we were chosen in you before the foundation of the world, predestinated for the adoption of sons and daughters of God, predestinated to come forth in your very image, predestinated to be the fulfillment of the word in this age, in this hour. Father, I pray that each and every one would be comforted, would be strengthened, Lord. Father, as we go through these turbulent times, you promised that you'd be with us, that you'd never leave us. You promised, Lord, that you'd be the way maker. And Lord, Father, there are testimonies that we should be giving. There are many things that you're doing in this hour. There are many prayers that are going forth. Lord, I want to thank you for this a school teacher, sister, Elaine, I think, related to her brother, Lawson. Last name of Lawson. Micaiah's, from Micaiah's school. Lord, it looked impossible. The doctors said it was impossible. They didn't expect things to turn around. And yet, Lord, we see you performing a miracle. Lord, there were prayers that were actually asked for. And Lord, there's a people that are believing in ways that they've never believed before. And we're just so grateful for that, Lord. Father, we should and we will, Lord. Forgive us. We will, Lord, testify of your goodness, of your wonders, of the things that you're doing, Lord. The supernatural amongst us. The living God confirming his word. You are the God of this Bible. You are the great I am. And you're doing exactly what you said that you would do. And we thank you for it, Lord. I pray that each and every one would be encouraged. And I pray, Lord, that if we have needs, that we would unite together as we've been instructed to do, Lord. Father, that we join together in faith, believing and confess the things that aren't as though they are. Lord, to confess what you revealed to us in heavenly places and confess it here on the earth. Let thy word be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that each and every one would be encouraged, that each and every one would be strengthened, and Lord, that we would look to you as never before. That we'd look to you, Lord, in greater and greater measures in our life, that we'd surrender to you. For surely, Lord, that is your desire, is for us to be completely submitted and surrendered to you. And Lord, that's where our peace is at. That's where our joy is at. That's where our fulfillment is at. And Lord, that's where our rest is at, as we surrender to your will in our lives. And Lord, your will is the right thing. And Lord, we can't see it with our natural eyes, but our spiritual eyes know that everything that you have for us is for the best. I pray that each one would be encouraged now and strengthened. I pray, Lord, that you'd minister to each and every one that's at home right now, that's listening in, Lord, those that couldn't make it, those that are out for different reasons. We ask that you'd strengthen them, Lord, as we unite together in faith, praying, whatever their need is, Lord, we agree with them this morning. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant it this morning, Lord. We thank you and we love you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Let's give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new... Yeah. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new...